It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, every game we give a Blackhawks player who had the most heart. I think we got to go ahead and give our broadcaster with the most heart to John Weidemann, braving through the elements and still calling a fantastic game. Unfortunately, this one goes to the St. Louis Blues 3-1 as the Blackhawks now 0-2 against the Blues this year. They fall to 8-22-4 on the season. St. Louis gets above 500, 17-16-3. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 10:30 tonight as the Hawks fall in game two of their three-game road trip after the Christmas break. They will wrap up the year of 2022 in Columbus on Saturday afternoon before heading back home for seven straight home games against the United Center. But let's recap this one, and we'll bring in Kaylee Chelios quickly from the Enterprise Center to do so. She was on the call with John Weidemann tonight. And Kaylee, I think once again, we have to start with the goaltending here tonight. Alex Stalock, a reason why the Blackhawks lost by only two goals in this game. You can't credit him, rather, you can't blame him on the empty net goal. You really can't blame him on any three goals. It's just one of those nights. Once again, the Blackhawks' mistakes get exposed. Maybe the other team catches a little puck luck, but in the end, it's not quite enough to take on a St. Louis Blues team who has some more talent than the Hawks. They gave a valiant effort in the third. I do think that that's still a reoccurring theme, but you need the full 60 with this Blackhawks team, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's unfortunate they're not getting the puck luck. That's just the way it goes sometimes, and that's the way it's been going for the Blackhawks. You mentioned it. Jack Johnson's attempt to get that D-to-D pass goes off the official skate into a swarm of Blues players in front of Alex Stalock, and then Tkachuk just has no idea that Rosen is in that high slot and feeds it to him on a silver platter. You feel for Tkachuk for sure in that. It's uncharacteristic for him, but nonetheless, it's two mistakes. One of them, an unfortunate bounce off the official that end up in the back of the net, and it's the difference in this game. So every shift, the Blackhawks have to be on. They have to be accountable. And I agree with you, though. I think the effort was there, especially up to the end. And it's just a matter of executing. And they probably would have liked to get more pucks on net and translate some of their zone time into chances and really try to get in front of Binnington and make it hard for him. But they're not going to get that chance back. Hopefully they can do that against Columbus.
26 saves for Alex Stalock tonight. Another bang-up job by him. Just a guy that seems to always keep his composure no matter how much the opposing team is rolling. And there were a few cases tonight, mostly in the second period. But man, Alex Stalock, it's been every guy. It's been Peter Mrazek. It's been Arvid Soderblom. But Alex Stalock tonight, once again, huge for this Blackhawks goaltending core.
He has been. He's a big personality and an important person for them as far as his veteran leadership, his personality. He brings a lot of energy to the ice. Between him and Jordan Binnington tonight, you know, they were playing the puck, acting like a third defenseman, making plays, and were definitely the most important players for their respective teams. So great goaltending match. Fortunately, the Hawks on the losing side of it, but no fault given to Alex Stalock. He played tremendous, saw the puck well, and he did have to make some 10-bell saves in the second period when the Blues were buzzing.
I'm glad you guys were able to recover from that loud foghorn it
My
almost
goodness.
Sounded like at
that
the
hurt.
End.
I have never experienced that for that amount of time, and it was not fun. I could only imagine what my poor buddy and partner John was feeling. He was just ready to roll out of here, and then they took us home with that.
For sure. Real quick, because I'm sure John's still got the cans on. From the 847, John Weidemann, we're all feeling your cold tonight. Thanks for your commitment. Get well soon. From the 779, get well soon, John. Let's go, Blackhawks. I don't know, Kaylee. I feel like we've talked about this type of game multiple times this year. I really don't know how else to dissect it. Just a frustrating night where the Blackhawks showed some glimpses, showed some opportunities, but it's got to come down to a perfect 60 minutes, and a team like St. Louis isn't going to let that just slip by. So the positives that we pull from this game, I guess the third line, much like the last night, a little bit more consistency throughout the offense tonight, And hopefully just still that consistent goaltending. That's all you can hope for.
Yeah, I didn't even mind the forecheck and the effort from the fourth line for the Hawks. Reese Johnson, Blackwell, Kachuk. I liked Tay's line, too. I thought Radish was pretty noticeable. And there were some good individual efforts as well. I mentioned Isaac Phillips a couple times for good reason during the broadcast. Some big, strong defensive plays in his own zone and off the rush and coverage, as well as Seth Jones. I thought Luke Richardson's talked about him, you know, needing to be really reliable in his own D zone, and he was tonight. Some really good stick plays and breaking up passes, and he was solid back there. You could see his frustration as he slammed his stick along the wall after that empty net goal. So some good individual performances, but like you said, with a team that's going to be out-talented more nights than not, you have to play a near-perfect game, and it can't just be five or six players for 20 minutes that come out ready to play. It's got to be an entire team every shift. You have to come up with those 50-50 battles and just be a more accountable group. So they're working towards that. I think I can say confidently that I really believe under Luke Richardson that they're getting better and there's progress, and that's what you want in a rebuild. Just, are you getting better after each game? And it's only going to get harder with some of the teams they're going to run into after this Columbus game, but it's definitely an encouraging sign that the effort is there.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought up the second line. You're right. Taves, Radish, and Kurashev, they combined for five shots on goal. They had some really good spurts in that third period as well. All right, Kaylee, thank you so much for the insight. We'll talk to you on New Year's Eve. At least we'll have a fun time on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It'll be a good time, early matinee, get home in time to celebrate, I'm sure. What are you doing for New Year's this year, Joe?
I don't know. I mean, we're at that
possibilities
age.
Possibilities are endless.
I mean, working New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, not complaining. It's just like, oh, there's really
the couch
not.
Couch is nice.
Yeah, it
right?
is.
Yeah, that's kind of where it ends up.
Unfortunately, I'm at that age where it's just like, New Year's Eve, I don't really know. I would celebrate New Year's Day more than New Year's Eve.
Yes, but I'm with you there. At this age, it's a little bit overrated and be more fun to actually work and call the game. I've always enjoyed working New Year's Eve in hockey. I don't have a problem with it. It's always a fun day.
It is. It's going to be a fun day at the United Center on New Year's Day. That's absolutely true. And so it'll be fun to be in that environment. So here's to that. Looking forward to that.
Me too. Good talking with you, Joe.
All right, likewise. That is Kaylee Chelios out at the Enterprise Center. She and John Weideman with the call tonight as the Blackhawks fall to the St. Louis Blues 3-1. With the loss, the Hawks drop to 8-22-4 on the season. The Blues improve to 17-16-3. And as I was mentioning earlier, unfortunately, this is another circumstance where the Blackhawks are playing a team that has more talent than them. It's going to take a full 60 minutes in order to beat a team with more talent. First period looked really good. Outshot the Blues 11-9. Left that first 20 minutes only tied at 1. Second period, they were outplayed by the Blues, but they only coughed up one goal. It was a big one. Again, the turnover by Boris Kachuk. And I get it. People are ready and eager to just pounce on Boris Kachuk and point their finger. How could you do that? That was so wrong. I'm not making excuses, but you can see what he was trying to do. He didn't do it, though, however. He was trying to get it to Colin Blackwell. It was a cross-ice pass. You can see him pick up his head quickly and notice Colin Blackwell. He went for a gutsy backhanded pass across the ice. Again, not justifying it. I think Colby Cohen said on the intermission show on TV that any coach is going to tell you, if you're going to make that pass, you need to be 100% sure you are going to pull it off. That was nowhere near 100% sure. And honestly, it seemed like it would have been way too risky of a pass to even try it. I think ideally, you'd like to just go around the boards and feed Colin Blackwell that way. But it's these types of mistakes, these types of growing pains that this team is going to have to go through during year one of a rebuild. Obviously, it was very costly. Cali Rosen just right there, able to rip it past Alex Stalock. Again, all three goals, I really do not think you can blame Alex Stalock. Unfortunately, that's what it's come to for this team right now in a rebuild. I mean, if you pull out those three goals, if the bounce off the referee doesn't happen, and listen, we could play hypotheticals all night long. Of course, a game looks totally different no matter what happens. But if that puck doesn't go off the referee and just become a saucer right in front of Alex Stalock and turn into a 3-on-0 against Alex Stalock. St. Louis doesn't get their first goal. That turnover doesn't happen. It's not 2-1 St. Louis, and you're talking about a 1-0 lead for the Blackhawks. Obviously, that's not enough to rely on for a full 60-minute effort. The Blackhawks had some good looks, though, mainly in the first period, a few more in the third period. I was mentioning that to Kaylee Chelios as well, that this is kind of a reoccurring theme that you're seeing now. The Blackhawks' effort in the third period. And as much as frustrated as you are with this team, as fed up as you are with all these losses, next time you're looking at this team through a microscope, look at their effort in the third period. It's not every game, but I will say it's most games. And it almost seems like almost every game, the Blackhawks are doing what they need to do for 2 out of 3 periods. 2 out of 3 is great, but it's not going to get the job done for this team. That's why it takes a full 60 minutes. That's why you saw the Blackhawks win last Friday against the Columbus Blue Jackets, because they were doing all the right things throughout the entire game. Let's also take a look at what the St. Louis Blues were able to do with their entire system in the third period. They're up 2-1. I don't think they had a shot on goal in the final 7.5 minutes. I think the next shot on goal was Brandon Saad's empty netter. And how do I know that? Because I had 29 Alex Stalock saves from our FanDuel Sportsbook picks. He finished with 26 tonight. We were going halfway to the period, and I'm thinking, okay, he only needs 3 more saves. This is a lock. Pavel Buchnevich is 1 shot on goal away from hitting that as well. We had him with 3 shots on goals today, 3 shots on goal tonight. He finished with 2. Because St. Louis can just play simple, they can play conservative, and they don't need to force things. And why is that? Because they've got a 1-goal lead, and because the Blackhawks are the desperate team for the goal, not the St. Louis Blues. We have seen that happen a lot this year. And of course, everything happens in sequence. You got to get off to a good start. How many times have we seen the other team score first? Other than the Blackhawks, 27 out of 34 games that has happened. So when that better team is able to score first and maintain control of the game right from the get-go, they can carry that into the second period, which again, the Blues were able to turn things up in this second period. They only got 1 goal from it. But then once the third period rolls around, if you feel like you can do enough and you can get by with 2 points by just playing a simple game, being conservative, not trying to push things, you can do that against this Blackhawks team right now. It's unfortunate, but that is how this team was built. This team was built to work a full 60 minutes with a bunch of hardworking guys, not all of them with firing offensive power. Unfortunately, that's what has to happen in year one of a rebuild. That's what we're seeing right now. But with all this talk of what the Hawks could be, what they should be, let's remember why they're doing this. And the best example of why they're doing this has been going on in Canada right now during World Juniors. We've got a lot to talk about Connor Bedard, what he's doing points-wise. We chatted with Colby Cohen last night on Blackhawks Live. He breaks down what type of player Connor Bedard is as well. And if you just watch one game, I watched one game last night, Team Canada against Team Germany. Connor Bedard had a hat trick by the second period. He had 5 points at least in that game. He might have had more. I forget what the final numbers were. We'll take a look at it after the break. But he's already setting records 4 games in to the World Juniors. And no, it is not a foolproof plan. The Blackhawks aren't guaranteed Connor Bedard next year. But this is the reason why they're doing this. It creates a better opportunity where all the ping pong balls land for the Blackhawks to have the best case scenario, the best odds to get that first draft pick. And what are they calling Connor Bedard? A generational talent. That's why the Blackhawks are going this far into the rebuild. That's why they're going this hard to turn things around, honestly, as quickly as possible. As soon as Kyle Davidson declared a rebuild last year when he was given full reign of the general manager position, he said, full-on rebuild. What's that look like in the NHL? That's tough to tell. It's not Major League Baseball, where it's going to take, let's say, 4 to 5 years at the least. It's not the NFL, where things can be turned around in just 1 year, which is what the Bears are trying to do. The NHL is different, it's tricky, and it's intricate. The good news is they stocked up on some draft picks last year. They're stocking up on more this year. There's still opportunities to gain more this season. And, oh yeah, right now the Blackhawks are at the bottom of the standings, and as rough as that sounds is a positive thing to put, that is why they're doing this, to try and get the best player available in the upcoming draft, which everyone is just gung-ho about, and that's why they're going in this direction. We've got a lot to get to. Luke Richardson talked with the media. We're going to get that sound courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. We'll recap this one. We'll take a look around the league, and we'll have more Connor Bedard talk as well. Blackhawks fall to the St. Louis Blues 3-1. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Two on their three-game road trip after the Christmas break. They fall to the St. Louis Blues tonight, 3-1. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 10:30 tonight. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. Let us know. What are you thinking about? How are you feeling about the Blackhawks this game, this year, for the future? Luke Richardson sat down with the media and talked about this game. Let's hear from the head coach.
It's been so hard for you guys to score goals lately, and how frustrating does it get when you have a group like that and nothing goes in?
Yeah, you know what? Even at the end with the goalie out, we just missed on a few opportunities, but we've got to keep working at it. I thought their work ethic was great tonight, and keeping them to like four or five shots in the third period and still generating a lot in the other end, it's a good sign. But the guys, we just got to keep our heads up and not get frustrated. Otherwise, it'll get harder. So we got to just push through, and one of these days we're going to get a good bounce and hopefully get a couple bounces like they did in their goals, and it leads to a win.
The turnover by Boris, what do you say to a player after that?
Not much. You know what? The players were really good on the bench, just rallying around him and telling him to have a good shift the next time he was out there. And, you know, it's hard to shake those off as a player, but you have to. Like, it's the game's not over. It's not an overtime goal against, so you have to continue on to play, and that's the hard part about sports. But, you know what? You have to build yourself a strong character to do that, and I thought the players rallied around him to help him do that. I thought he had a really good penalty kill at the end of the game after sitting on the bench for a while, going with the more offensive line. And he almost sprung himself for a break. So I thought that's a good sign of a player just overcoming a tough break and a bad decision.
Is it harder to convince the guys that keep working on it? It's going to come like it never seems to come.
Well, it came two games ago, and I think, you know, you got to look ahead. That's a team that we last beat, and that's the way we got to approach the next game. So, we had success in that game offensively and pretty good defensively. Tonight we had some really good looks, good opportunities, and, they didn't go in as much as we'd like, but they're there. When they're not there, that's when everybody gets really concerned.
Seth said that he thought the D-zone was better, too. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I thought we were much harder in our 1-1 battles. And, especially Phillips, I thought he was really good in the corners and being aggressive. And, I think that just leads to less zone time for them. And I thought we, had a lot of offensive zone time in the third period, especially trying to put pressure on them, or at least less in our zone. So that leads to just fresher legs.
Kane goal, is that the idealized version of the power play in the win?
Well, I think, you know what, they made them pay. They had a chance to clear once or twice. We had good sticks tonight, and just perseverance there. I thought, we stuck with it. We didn't try any little soft passes through sticks. We moved around the outside until we got that look, and it came around to Kaner again, and he was determined, and he found that hole, and it was a good boost for us, because I thought we played pretty good in the first period, so we needed to have something come out of that with that.
How important is it to have the players also moving around and not just the puck?
Absolutely, and we do that. I thought we did that 5-on-5 a few times, and that's and when we watch breakdowns of other teams or even defensive zone for us, that's when you get in big trouble. So I think you can't just be complacent and move pucks around, whether it's 5-on-5 or on the power play. You have to have bodies moving, interchanging, create confusion, and that's when there's going to be a breakdown, and you just got to make the right choice when you see that breakdown.
Big thanks to NBC Sports Chicago for getting us that tape. Luke Richardson recapping the Blackhawks 3-1 loss to the St. Louis Blues down in St. Louis. Hawks fall to 8-22-4 on the season with the loss. St. Louis improves to 17-16-3. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200, you can call or you can text. Mike from Wheaton called in, and he's saying that we shouldn't be praising the goalies. Why is that, Mike?
Well, because what you're really saying is when you allow 40-plus shots, you're also you also have to say that the allowance of those shots is a statement of the team. I'm not saying we shouldn't be praising the goalies. I'm saying we should be transparent and say we gave up 40-something shots.
Okay. I see where you're coming from, but the goaltender is the last line of defense, and the main reason I've been bringing that up all this time, Mike, is because this Blackhawks team that needs everyone to pitch in at all times is going to be overmatched a lot. So when the last line of defense is the goaltending, and they're performing up to their best, it's keeping the Hawks in games that is giving them something to play for still. I mean, this came down to an empty net goal by St. Louis. You look at Twitter, and the Blues fans aren't pleased with this win. They're happy they won, but they felt that they should have really handled this game. I feel like that's a reoccurring theme, that the Blackhawks goaltenders are keeping this team in games, even if they're not winning many of them. They're keeping them in games, and that's allowing this team to stay motivated for something to play for. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm not dissing the goalies whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you talk about a great goal performance of 40 plus saves, you also have to talk about the fact that the team gave up those shots. Not even talking about the block shots, you know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, here let's take a look at the block shots. 10 block shots for the Blackhawks tonight. 13 for the St. Louis Blues, which is actually. It seems like it's a little bit more surprising to me because the Blues had more block shots. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying because I'm guessing you're frustrated that the Hawks are giving up this many shots. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, it's a Pyrrhic victory when you're praising the goalie for 46 shots. They need to be praised, and they are keeping them in the game. But we have to say that there's a problem when those number of shots are being allowed.
True. However, don't you think this would all be a totally different tone, my tone, your tone, Blackhawks fans' tones in general, if the Hawks are losing these games 6-0, 6-1 all the time?
Oh, my gosh. Please don't even talk about that.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Mike. That's why the goaltenders need to be praised. I hear where you're coming from. Mike, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate your passion. Appreciate you chiming in. Don't be a stranger, okay?
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right, and that's Mike from Wheaton on the postgame show, 312-981-7200. You can join in as well. Like this guy from the 608 area code. I believe that's Arizona. I could be wrong. You keep saying rebuild. Just what are they rebuilding? How to play passive hockey? I see nothing in this team. Oh, Dexter in Bowling Brook. Sorry, Dexter, for misidentifying you as somebody from Arizona. Look, the term rebuild is straight from the horse's mouth in Kyle Davidson when he took over as permanent general manager last season. It's hard for me to look down this roster and tell you who's likely going to be on this team in 3 years. And the only guy contractually obligated, I believe, is Seth Jones. I know Jake McCabe is still got maybe 3 years left on his, as I pull up Cap Friendly quickly. And if we're looking at the roster for this team, not many of these guys are going to be on the next successful Blackhawks team. Maybe there will be. I think really well about Taylor Radish finding a spot on this team. Obviously, the young guys like Isaac Phillips, the Blackhawks hope that Ian Mitchell will be. Some of the younger guys, I know Alex Vlasic hasn't been on the NHL team this year, but he was for a little bit last year. Lucas Reichel's played in one game. Those are the guys that the Blackhawks are looking for their next successful team. And really quickly, looking at cap friendly, Seth Jones obviously signed for quite some time. Connor Murphy's not an unrestricted free agent until after the 25-26 season. Jake McCabe is here the next 3 years, and that's it. Other than that, and even the next 2 years, isn't too many people except for a couple. It's going to be tough to see just exactly who the Blackhawks are still thinking can be a piece to the next successful team. Philip Kurashev is a guy that was kind of on the fence about if he was going to return to the Blackhawks this year, and he's been doing well on the top two lines, whether it's with Jonathan Toews or with Patrick Kane. He's starting to show a little bit more of a skill set, so he's a guy that's making a better name for himself for the future, and it's just difficult. I can't go ahead and criticize this team in terms of what the next successful team is going to look like with what we're seeing right now. We're going to get to Vince in Chicago, but first a quick break for station identification.
The Blackhawks, Wildcats, and the NFL play here on AM 720. On smart speakers, say play WGN Chicago.
Blackhawks fall to the St. Louis Blues 3-1 tonight down in St. Louis. Vince is in Chicago. He's got a question about the draft. I hope I can answer this for you, Vince. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out. I always wondered about this because I know what happened in football one time. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Peyton Manning refused to go to a certain team that drafted him for whatever reason. I think that's what happened. But I'm just wondering, everybody's trying to get this top guy through the draft. And say Arizona gets the number one pick and the Hawks get the number two pick. Can this guy refuse to go to Arizona?
I don't believe so. I don't. And I'm going to try my best to figure out this answer before the end of the postgame show. But I don't believe so because it's different with football and it's different with baseball because you have the option to stay in college. And I don't think that's necessarily the case with hockey because with hockey, the moment you're picked up by the NHL team, you can't go back to your collegiate program. Now, that's obviously when the player has agreed to go with the team. Now, are you asking this because you're wondering if there's a chance the Blackhawks win the lottery, get the number one pick, draft Connor Bedard, and he says, I don't want to come to Chicago? Is that why you're asking this, Vince?
Well, I'm just doing this kind of the reverse. Say he had intentions to come to Chicago.
Oh, wow.
He wanted to play for the Hawks and didn't want to play for, say, Arizona. Can he do that?
I don't think so. I really want to get this answer for you by the end of the post game show. But and I love your evil genius mind working here, where even if the Blackhawks don't win the lottery, that they still find a chance to get Connor Bedard. I'm going to try my best, Vince. We got a couple breaks. I'll try to do some research during there. If you know the answer, anyone out there, 312-981-7200, you can call, you can text. But I want to say no. I want to say you can't turn it down. But I'll do my best. Vince, thanks so much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that is Vince in Chicago. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call or you could text. We do have some more conversation about Connor Bedard. We sat with, or rather talked with Colby Cohen yesterday on Blackhawks Live. Connor Bedard has currently already set a record in the World Junior Championships. He has 14 points in three games. I'm going to go down this list, and we got this courtesy of Big Head Hockey on Twitter. For the most points in a single World Juniors tournament all time, Jaromír Jágr with 18. 18 points in seven games. Wayne Gretzky had 17 points in six games. He was in a three-way tie with a couple other guys, one of them being Jesse Puljujarvi. Connor Bedard has 14 points in three games. He had a hat trick yesterday. He had 5 points at least. As Brendan Rook, one of our producers, printed out some points for me, or rather some score sheets, is yes, 6 goals, 8 assists, 14 total points for Connor Bedard in 3 games played. I know that Team Canada was raking tonight. They were up 6-0 the last time I checked. Also, a defenseman in the Blackhawks system, Nolan Allen, scored a goal in that game. I know that Kevin Korchinski has been involved with some of the offensive firepower. I know he set up Connor Bedard in one of those games. We've got King John tuned in from, wow, is this the King John? This is John Williams tuned into the Blackhawks postgame show. John, I'm completely humbled right now. I don't know what to say.
Don't be surprised. I'm listening to the postgame. I enjoy the games. I wish we were winning more, and I always enjoy your analysis, Joe. So it's a pleasure to listen. I just wish it was under better circumstances.
Well, we could just turn this into the bright side of life, and we could talk about all the positives that we are trying to get to here in the postgame show if you want, John.
Oh, sure. Now you're going to talk about the goaltending, right?
Well, no, not if you're Mike from Wheaton, apparently.
Well, here's my question. Everybody's talking about this pick in the draft coming up, Connor Bedard, but how could you contrast how important the first-round pick is in the NHL versus the other leagues? Like, if you needed a quarterback and you got a quarterback, I would imagine that would make a big difference. I think in the NBA, in a couple of years, a first-round pick can translate into a real game-changer, right?
Yep.
How important is it in hockey compared to the other leagues, would you say?
So, I think I would categorize it most parallel to basketball, because obviously the quarterback is the most important position in the sport of football. But it is one aspect of the game, and yeah, you would like to build a team around a quarterback, but for the most part, I think the highest touted prospects in hockey are offensive scorers, which Connor Bedard is, and you know, it's basically in hockey, your offense, your defense, or you're a goaltender. The position doesn't matter too much. And again, this kid is just taking the world by storm right now. He's on everyone's minds, he's on everyone's eyes, he's constantly on the internet, and I mean, they were talking about him last year. Even last year's draft, they were saying, well, the draft's a little thin this year. Next year is the Connor Bedard and Anna Fantilli, who's the number two pick. People are high on the number two pick also. But Connor Bedard is supposed to be this generational talent, and that's why everyone's so eager to get their hands on him.
So if we get a first pick or maybe even a second pick, you think that will really change significantly the Blackhawks' fortune?
It's hard to guarantee anything, but I'll say this. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth what they're doing right now. Just like when the Bears drafted Justin Fields. It's not a sure thing. There were some critics about it. Even when he started playing last year and into this year, too, there were still some critics about it. But I think with where the organization is at, it's worth it to go that extra mile, and it's worth it to go for this guy, and that's why I do agree with what they're doing right now.
And one last thing, Joe. So, how does that work in the NHL then with the draft? It's a lottery, right? You're not guaranteed a pick, are you?
Correct. No. Well, you're guaranteed a pick, but you're not guaranteed top pick. And it's all about percentages, and it's all about getting in the top three. I forget exactly what it is, but I think if you're anywhere between 1 and 11 in the quote-unquote tank standings, you get guaranteed first, second, or third, a possibility to get in the top three picks. Because not too long ago, the Blackhawks were not the worst team in the league. They were actually somewhere middle in the pack, and they landed the number three pick. They got lucky with the lottery. So they're trying to create the best odds for themselves to get the number one overall pick. But the top two, the consolation prize isn't that bad either, according to the experts.
You're the expert, Joe. Nice to listen to your show, man. Keep it up.
Hey, King John, this is really cool. I really appreciate you chiming in. This is a highlight for me. So as I tell everyone else, don't be a stranger, okay?
I'm on my way back from the DePaul game, by the way. That was fun to watch.
Oh, who'd you take to the game?
My son and I, we got season tickets, and it was a fun game. Georgetown isn't a great team this year, but as I said on the way out, you can only beat the team you're playing, so we'll take the win.
Is it Griff in the car with you?
Nah, it's Grant, but it's just me now. Oh. I'm driving solo now.
Okay, all right. Well, my best to Griff and Grant and the whole Williams family and the Filipich family, and again, thanks for chiming in, King John. We are talking a lot about the upcoming NHL draft and the Connor Bedard sweepstakes, as everyone's calling it. Why are we talking about that? Well, that's because that's the direction the Blackhawks are going for right now. It's year one of a rebuild. They fell to the St. Louis Blues tonight, 3-1 down in St. Louis. They moved to 8-22-4 on the season. Yes, the Blackhawks are at the bottom of the NHL standings, but that's because they're going for what some people call a generational talent in Connor Bedard. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 10:30 tonight. Vince from Chicago had a question about if Connor Bedard could turn down the team that drafted him, and he was talking in the sense of Arizona landing the top draft pick and going for him and Connor Bedard turning it down. I do have some of the answers on that, but we have Pete from Park Ridge who wants to share the answer. I said if anybody had the answer on their own and they wanted to chime in, I'd give the floor to them. So again, Pete from Park Ridge, go ahead. What do you know about this?
Well, I mean, your producer looked it up, and he said it's they would retain his rights for 2 years. That's because Bedard's playing in junior, and I think if he would have been playing in university, I think they would have held his rights until he graduated. But I just wanted to bring up the closest thing that we have for precedent would be like when Eric Lindros, I don't know if you remember, a number of years ago, he didn't Quebec drafted him number one overall, and he didn't want to go. And if he would have kept his mouth shut and went to Quebec and played, he probably would have won the Stanley Cup with Colorado that next year. That team moved to Colorado and they won the Cup. And it didn't go well for him. I mean, Gordie Howe raked Lindros over the coals for what he did. Mike Bossy, a number of guys did, and he was never well liked. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for him to not want to go where he's drafted.
Yeah, is it almost just like it's the respect for hockey that these guys will go ahead and go to whatever team drafts them because.
I think so. I think that's part of the culture. Yeah, you go where you're drafted, and you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, I guess you can, you know, yes, you could ask for a trade, but whoever traded for you would want to, you know, quite a haul back, I would think.
Right, for sure. Yeah, and I probably spoke out of turn when I just went ahead and said no, you can't turn it down because I mean. These are players, but they're humans. You don't have to force them to do anything.
Yeah.
But you're right. Hey, Pete, really appreciate the insight, and thank you for chiming in, not holding back.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, that is Pete from Park Ridge with the answer, as Vince was asking, from Chicago. And Vince, we'll put you on real quick before we let you go, because I just want to read it verbatim from Brendan Rook, one of our producers here, printed it out from The Athletic. Can an NHL draft pick refuse to sign with the team that drafts them? When an NHL club selects a player in the entry draft, they hold the signing rights of that player until those rights expire. So while a player is technically under no obligation to sign with the club that selects them, barring their rights being traded to another club or waiting until their rights expire and they become a free agent, they'd be unable to sign elsewhere. There are some caveats, though. If a team drafts a player and then does not sign them for 2 years after they were selected, the player may re-enter the draft, assuming he's still eligible, assuming he's under 20 years old. If a player goes unsigned and then turns 20, rendering him unable to re-enter the draft, he becomes a free agent after his 20th birthday, with a few exceptions. So basically, Vince, yes, it sounds like they can turn it down, but as Pete said, you don't often see it in the NHL. And it does seem like I do agree with how the NHL handles this. They do it a little bit better than baseball, because when you get drafted by an MLB team, you have to go to that organization. You can't play college ball anymore. You can play college hockey if you're drafted, but the moment you get pulled up by the team, you have to stay there. You can't go back to the college team. So it does protect the player, but it also protects the organization. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole of why baseball is different, because it comes down to injuries and the intricacies of those types of athletes. But long answer, or I should say short answer, yes, he can turn it down, but I don't know if that would likely happen. I think it would kind of rock the NHL world if it did.
Okay, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But I was just curious,
You know, as far I keep throwing Arizona out there, but it could be maybe there's I think there's another team that's got maybe 2 points more than the Hawks right now also.
Well, the Ducks are down there too.
Yeah, but just saying, I mean, those teams don't really have a very good track record. Then when you look at Chicago, they have a good winning track record. And put yourself in this individual's position, you know, he may be, you know, feel more comfortable or a lot better by going to Chicago instead of Arizona.
Not only that, Vince, I mean, he's playing with Colton Dock, Nolan Allen, Kevin Korchinski, Ethan Del Mastro on Team Canada right now in the World Juniors. So he's playing with a handful of Blackhawks prospects. I feel like that would make him feel comfortable too. And I mean, it's kind of hard to just salivate over this kid when he is a kid. He's 18 years old, and there's no guarantee the Hawks are going to land him, but this is why they're going for this. Again, if you watch his games, though, if you watch the World Juniors, it's pretty interesting, and we've got some audio around that, too. Vince, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for chiming in, and appreciate the question. It was good conversation.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, that's Vince in Chicago. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. Yesterday, we talked with Colby Cohen about Connor Bedard. It just worked out great with the timing because Team Canada was playing. Connor Bedard had a hat trick. Colby even had mentioned that he didn't see too much of Connor Bedard before, so it was great to watch him firsthand. We also had Colby on to talk about the Winter Classic. We won't get into that. That is on the WGN podcast and Blackhawks Live podcast online as well, or wherever you get your podcasts. But here is Colby Cohen talking about his assessment of Connor Bedard and a Blackhawks prospect.
I haven't really got to watch him this up close and personal before because I didn't really watch World Juniors this past summer. And obviously I've seen his highlights, but Mike Johnson, who's the analyst, you know, in this game on TV and played a long time in the NHL, has just made some really funny, simple points about Connor Bedard and just how freakishly good he is. I mean, he just is so good. I mean, I'm watching this kid play thinking, I mean, he could be an impact player in the NHL right now. I just think he's that good already.
Well, it was just recently on the assist he got from Kevin Korchinski in the neutral zone where he's coming down the left wing. He's leaning left. It looks like everything about him is going left. And then he shoots right. And he actually had a goal just a little bit ago, too, on the other side of the ice, where kind of that same situation. It's just his ability to do whatever he wants to do with the puck on his release.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And then, Joe, on the last goal Canada scored on the power play, one of the last goals, you know, Gunther scores that goal because Bedard starts walking down the right side and he's pulling the puck in like he's going to shoot the puck. And now you're worried about his release and what he does with the puck. And Gunther scores the easiest goal he's ever going to score. He's standing over there on the. I mean, like, I'm watching this and I'm like, this guy passes the puck. You know, like Patrick Kane passes the puck.
Right.
I mean, it is incredible to watch Connor Bedard with the puck. His first touch when he gets the puck in traffic is just, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, as a hockey fan, it's really, really exciting to watch. And this Team Canada is littered with Blackhawks prospects. And this Canada team is a hard team to make. I mean, if you're a prospect and you're making Team Canada at the World Juniors, you've got a future. I mean, you're going to get opportunities to play in the NHL.
Yeah, and that being said, what, 4 Blackhawks prospects on this team right now? In
yeah.
Nolan
four,
Allen?
Yeah.
It's funny you bring up Patrick Kane because that actually is what he reminded me of in terms of what you were saying, where it looks like he's going to shoot, it looks like he's going to shoot, but then he ends up passing. I mean, that's a weapon in itself. When you're that lethal as a shooter, as we've seen Patrick Kane do so many times, it leaves the goaltender just guessing the entire way down. And again, it's just really spectacular to see it. I'm with you. I haven't had a chance to really sit down and watch it or watch Connor Bedard. You watch highlights and things like that. But when you just zone in on him, when you focus on him and him alone, you're able to see how much he creates offensively.
Yeah, it's I mean, it should it gives you a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, hoping that this guy can end up in a Blackhawks uniform, because, again, like, there's not a Connor Bedard in every draft.
Right.
These are the guys that come along every five drafts, you know, or you know, you had Kane and you know, Taves, and then, you know, Crosby, Ovechkin. Like, these guys don't come around that often. These generational players, obviously McDavid, you know, but, like, they don't happen every year. And this guy looks like he's one of those players. So I'm enjoying watching him. I'm not going to lie. I'm not usually sitting in front of the TV watching Team Canada that closely. and it is a little bit hard for me to be tweeting about Team Canada, but that's where all of our prospects are. So, but I definitely am enjoying watching Bedard. I think Korchinski just impresses the hell out of me, the way that he skates and moves the puck. I think with Korchinski, the thing that probably excites me the most is everything that Kevin Korchinski can do, you can't teach. And the little, you know, things he needs to work on in his game, like maybe, you know, at times probably thinking defense a little bit more, maybe, you know, strength a little bit, something he'll continue to work on. Remember, he's 18 years old, right? But his gifts as a defenseman, the way he gets back on the puck and the way that his vision allows him to break pucks out, I mean, you know, I think about, like, how Erik Karlsson was early in his NHL career before he became a total liability defensively. I mean, I see a little bit of that with Korchinski. I mean, he just gets back on the puck and breaks pucks out so easily. Luke Richardson, like, we were talking about this in the pregame yesterday and throughout the game, and then Luke, I think, talked about it in the postgame that, you know, and you know, Luke was a defenseman, so he sees the game through that lens, but the whole game starts with the ability to break pucks out. If you can't break the puck out, you're not going to be successful in the NHL. I mean, you think about those Blackhawk teams that were winning Stanley Cups and competing for Stanley Cups from 2010 to, what, 15, 16. Like, you look at their decors and you look at the way those guys could break out pucks.
If you'd like to hear more of Colby Cohen on that, again, that is on Blackhawks Live, the podcast from last night with Connor Murphy. We talk more about Connor Bedard. We talk about Colton Dock, Kevin Korchinski, whole bunch of info there. We've got one more break. Want to take a look around the NHL. Want to pull out a tweet, too. Joe, give me a break. It's going to take more than one player. The Blackhawks need a whole new team and a new coach. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 W. Earlier in the postgame show, we gave our broadcaster with the most heart to John Weidemann, fighting a cold and still doing a fantastic job calling tonight's game. Well, our player with the most heart is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. Alex Stalock had 26 saves tonight. Tonight's three-star selection is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. Number one star, Jordan Binnington. Number two star, Braden Schenn, who had a career-high 11 shots on goal, by the way. Callie Rosen, the number three star tonight. Really quickly, from the tweet line, someone chiming in, Joe, give me a break. It's going to take more than just one player. The Blackhawks need a whole new team and a new coach. I don't know about the new coach thing. I don't know how you can assess Luke Richardson 34 games into this season with the team he's been given so far in say that the Blackhawks need a new coach. And yeah, I know it's going to take more than one person. I just said I'm not entirely sure of who is on this Blackhawks roster that's going to be on the next successful Blackhawks team. But starting with a guy that's being called a generational talent in Connor Bedard is a pretty good start. Let's go around the league. We're going to start in Washington.
And back now into neutral ice. Turned around quickly on a break. Here comes Ovechkin. He scores! Alex Ovechkin sneaking behind the defense. 803 goals, and it's 1-0 Washington.
Capitals begin a three-game homestand on the right track. A win over the Ottawa Senators tonight. The Capitals taking them down, rather the Capitals losing that game in overtime, 4-3. Alex DeBrincat, the former Blackhawk, with the overtime game winner. Let's go to Buffalo.
Larkin.
Look at this.
Can't handle the speed. Patrick for Kyle Okposo.
Sabres pick a 6-3 lead.
And the Sabres played in their first game in 10 days due to all those travel constraints. They take down Detroit, who just came off a big comeback win over the Pittsburgh Penguins, but Buffalo with the 6-3 winner over the Red Wings. Let's go to Florida.
Barkov on his backhand. He'll play it back to the left point. Forsling over for Ekblad, finding a shooting lane. There's White in front. Barkov, and Barkov has got a natural hat trick here. What a start to this game for Sasha Barkov, and the hats rain down in Sunrise.
A natural hat trick in the first period. Florida takes down the Montreal Canadiens 7-2. Montreal sees its fourth consecutive loss. The Blackhawks' next game will be Saturday afternoon against Columbus on New Year's Eve. We'll start it at 12 o'clock, but we'll start the coverage at 11:30 a.m. Blackhawks hockey's been sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives, United Airlines, and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to all the help here at the WGN studios, our production team of Brendan Rook and Ben Anderson. Another big thanks to our engineering crew of Krista Flores and Dan Long. Out at the Enterprise Center, John Weideman had the play-by-play. Kaylee Chelios had the color. Steve Ruxton has your news next. Raleigh James is after that. I'm Joe Brand signing off. Blues beat the Blackhawks 3-1. Thanks for listening to another edition of Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks Hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN. Streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.